Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, and actually added 95.5 recently to the group of stations. And stopped by Small World Books in Rochester this past week to catch up with Rocco Pellegrino, who I've seen on and off for many years. And it's just, I love bookstores like this, and he has one of the iconic used bookstores of Rochester. And he also likes to garden, so the connection. So, Rocco, when did you open Small World Books? Was it always in this spot, or was this, did you start it elsewhere?
Yeah, so the first bookstore I opened is in East Henrietta Road 36 years ago. And it's in a kind of historical home built in 1835 on near Lehigh Station Road. And that was my first bookstore. And I think we called it Via Pellegrino. And then the official name of the store that I think is still in the legal papers is AVE Enterprises. And AVE stands for Arbor Vitae Enterprises.
And why did you start a bookstore? What prompted you to do that?
Well, I'm an obsessive book buyer. I really love reading. It's my first love. Storytelling, reading. I was born in Italy, and I lived there for 15 years. We didn't have any bookstores there. I think we had one new bookstore the year before I left. And so, reading was my big love. So when I came to America, actually, I saw my first garage sale when I was about 30 years old, and I bought some 10 Rex Stout novels.
So, Rocco, what were some of the first books that you actually purchased and just for yourself, or were they, you already thinking about selling them?
No, just for myself. I was reading Rex Stout, the Nero Wolfe novels, one of the best detective stories written. And at a garage sale, they had 10 paperbacks, 10 cents each, and I was paying 35 cents to a dollar for the new ones. So I just couldn't pass up the deal, even though I'd already read them. So that was the first trickle. And then after that, I started going to more garage sales. Then I discovered auctions, started going to auctions. And before you know it, I had to buy a house, the house that we have on East Henrietta Road, to open up a store.
And were there certain types of books, fiction or detective novels, things that you concentrated in at that point?
Well, I like literature, so I was looking for good literature all the time. But I like mysteries, science fiction, just about any of, books that are well written, that describe more, that give you a really good story, but maybe they give you a little bit more, like in the Rex Stout novels, for example. You get something about culinary dishes. Nero Wolfe has an orchid room that he goes to every day from 11 to 1 or 2 to 4, I forget now. He's a really great, it's about language. He's interested in having good language, so you learn a little bit about the use of language. So I like books that are more intricate, that give you more than just, either a simple story, love story, or whatever. Books that give you a little bit more insight into yourself and the people around you and the world. And finally, God, I guess, eventually.
So what prompted you to move into the city? You're on Portland now, and it's a great old building. Obviously, old buildings attract you.
Yeah, so I had several bookstores. First one was on East Henrietta Road. The next one was a Village Gate. Then I had a little bookstore in Rush. Then I had a little bookstore next to the Little Theater, which is when we became Small World, because we were next to the Little Theater. So when I was there for 2 years, and then the Internet was just coming on at that point, so we weren't making it successful financially, so we closed the store, and I was living in Rush, and I kept on buying books, so I kept on filling my house with, every room. And then finally I kind of broke through my fear of the Internet, got on the Internet and started selling books on Alibris, A-B-E. And that's when I actually made some money, because we had no overhead costs. Yeah. And I did that for about 2 or 3 years. And my garage was getting full. My house was getting full. And this building came up for sale from the city. And they want a proposal for use. And I came over, and it came up 1 year. And I decided against it. And then the next year it came back. And as it turned out, the lady across the street, Kay, who has an insurance business, she was kind of influential here, and she really liked the idea of a bookstore here. So when I came back the second year, she said, why didn't you put in a proposal? We want you here. So I decided to go ahead and put in a proposal. And then it was, 10 years of hard work. The roof had a big hole in it. There was no plumbing, no electric. So my brother was very handy, kind of put in the plumbing and the electric and everything. And so the first 10 years were like, kind of a little hard because I was by myself, cold winter, it's a big building, hard to eat. And so, but, I still like buying books, so I can't quit that. And as long as I was making my payments, I was okay. Also, I just retired from New York State. I worked in group homes for New York State for 30 years. So, when I retired, I had a pension from New York State. And this bookstore supports itself, supports the little help that I have from friends. And in the last 4 years, we started having shows here, music shows. And we've had some literary events, some poetry readings. But the music shows have kind of enlivened the place quite a bit and made it more fun. Kind of unusual. We have lights. People play in the basement. It's just great. That's been, a lot of fun.
So it's evolved. People can follow you on Facebook to see what music groups are coming. And I imagine a lot of those are probably younger crowd.
Yeah, and I would say that 20s to the mid-30s, 40s, and sometimes you get some old foggy like me, that likes music, or maybe they come because their children are in the bands. But mostly young people, and that's nice.
The bands don't mind if people are looking at a few books while they're listening.
Right. So usually when we have lighter bands like folk music or jazz bands, we have kids from the Eastman School of Music. They have like 2 or 3 different bands, and when they play upstairs. But when we have a rock and rollers or loud bands, then they play in the basement. And the basement is really nice set up. And then when they play in the basement, we have a little bit more opportunity for people to, come upstairs and shop around. But it depends on the crowd. Like, we do real well with when the kids from Eastman play. Mm-hmm. There's more book buyers, I guess, They like, jazz and folk music. But we don't do a lot, but we do sell some things during the shows.
And it introduces them to you, so they know where you are and perhaps come back.
Right. So we've had a little bit of an increase in the retail sales since we started having shows. We're still a little bit outside of, the walk-in traffic. So, people have to find us. Some of our best sales are to people from out of town, where somebody's coming from, Ohio or someplace, and they're the best shoppers because they come to a bookstore because they would like books versus somebody just wandering in,
They're stocking up because they don't have a nice used bookstore like this where they live anymore.
Right, yeah. That's probably most of it, is that there isn't that many bookstores. We're kind of lucky in Rochester that there's 4 good used bookstores. And a lot of cities our size don't have that. A lot of cities larger than us don't have that. And very few cities have a bookstore like ours.
So, and speaking of music, you also have some CDs and quite a few records. So people can peruse those.
Sure. CDs, there's a lot of. They're not particularly organized. The records are a little bit more organized. And, we like classic rock, folk, jazz. I wish we could get, you know, you don't find too many jazz, good jazz and blues records, but that's what I would like to find more of. So if anybody out there has any, give us a call. Stop by.
And you said you're still, you know, 35, 36 years later, still out almost every day visiting estate sales or Goodwill or a variety of places, still looking. And what are you looking for when you go to those sales?
Well, things that are unusual. I mean, always great literature, of course. I mean, you know, if you find a nice early edition of a Hemingway or Faulkner or any of the great writers, that's a nice big find. But what I find sometimes is like juvenile books with dust jackets. They're kind of rare. Children books have a little bit more knowledge than most booksellers about children books. And that's because I read a lot to my kids, and so I got to be familiar. And I really love children books, too.
There's some just fantastic children's books, and people forget about them. It's like we sort of move on from them, and, you know, some of them, like Little House on the Prairie, you know, find TV and then movies. But you know, when people should maybe ask you what children's books, when they come in, would you recommend for a 10-year-old or for a 5-year-old? And maybe they find some books they wouldn't find any other way.
Right. Well, I mean, I do have favorite children book authors. Not so much juvenile, except some of the juvenile, like Ursula K. Le Guin, who wrote the Earthsea trilogy. I mean, you can call her juvenile children, but she's really all ages. And I think all great literature, you know, for example, Alice in Wonderland is probably the, you know, the most known, and you think of it as a children book, but children only get, you know, the top of it, the story. But there's a lot of play of words, and I think you have to be a little bit more, I've read more to really get more of the meanings of Alice in Wonderland. But then it's just kind of magical, you know. The Lewis Carroll just has a great imagination and likes to play with words, numbers, ideas. And I like really great images, really great, where the wild things are. It's beautifully illustrated. One of my favorite books is Goodnight Moon by Brown. Now I can't think of her. Versus, no.
I can see the book. We read it to our kids a couple thousand times, I think.
Right, right. So, I mean, like Steig. He writes children books. They have a beautiful pastel colored illustrations, and there's always some kind of really odd magic thing happening with the characters. But I mean, and so far as kids' books, just take anything, you know, and read them, you know.
We love Little Bear, which is just the pace of it, the illustrations. It's just a lovely series.
Right. That's Elsa Minarek, and I think illustrated by Sandak. Yeah, I read all those to my kids too. So I like those. I like those a lot.
A little bear decides to go to the moon, and he, you know, goes up in a tree and jumps off, or I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of remember that. Yeah.
All sorts of fun things, and you know, and maybe in being a used bookstore, you see these books and probably reread them sometimes when they come in, or you know, and most adults don't, because they don't. Maybe reading to their grandchildren or to nieces or nephews, but it gives you a chance to relive some of those books.
Right. Yes, and also like recently, I came across this little book by Russell Holben, who's one of my favorite writers. He's also very colorful, imaginative, interesting, and I came up well, this little book. Now I can't think of the title. But it was a first edition. It was $75. And it was maybe 15, 20 pages. So I said, well, $75. I like Holben anyway, but I got to read this. So after I read it, I said, wow, this is so wonderful. First I was going to copy it, you know, take photos so I could have, because I was selling, the book sold. And then I said, well, I can go online and find, you know, find copies of it. So it's just a beautiful little story, and I went and bought 4 copies online that I recommend to people to just read because it's a short book that takes 10 minutes to read. And it's very creative, very colorful, very imaginative.
You have a few chairs so people can sit and check out a few books while they're here at Small World Books. What kind of directions do you give people to get here?
Well, Monroe Avenue is the easiest way. So if you follow Monroe Avenue, you get to Chestnut Street downtown, a main street, and then Chestnut becomes North Street past the Interloop. So just stay on Monroe straight past Chestnut, and then it becomes North Street.
What's the address?
425 North Street. And then look for the beautiful mural by Alice Pasquini that they did about 4 years ago with wall therapy. And that's a beautiful, easy-to-spot sign.
And I love the wall therapy program, and exciting to be a part of that for you.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And again, my friend Nick, who does, who books the shows, he was kind of in charge of getting that to happen. He talked to people, went to meetings. And then it was wonderful how they tied us up with Alice Pasquini, who's Italian. They brought her in from Rome. And, you know, I'm Italian, and she likes Alice in Wonderland. The name is Alice. And we just had a great time. And, you know, we became good friends. And, you know, I loved speaking Italian with her I don't speak Italian that much. So having her around, and we chatted for hours in Italian and in English, you know. So that was a lot of fun.
And now you get to see it every day as you come in and out of the store.
Yeah, and so, you know, sometimes you don't see things, and then once in a while you step, oh, there it is, you know, when you're coming in. Because, you know, things are there, and after a while you stop seeing them.
Sure.
So it's nice from time to time. Wow, what a wonderful picture, you know, to see it again. Yeah.
Yeah, so Small World Books, and follow them on Facebook. You're going to have a book sale coming up with some different categories of books on sale?
Right. So we're going to have a sale probably starting next week for the Thanksgiving week, 25 to 50% off everything. So certain categories like cooking books, sewing, quilting arts, you know, a lot of different types are will be 50% off. Also a kid's book, and this is kind of important. They're going to be 25% off unless you're a child up to 12 years old. And if the child picks out the book and pays for it, they get 50% off. But then the kid has to buy it.
Yeah.
And that the parents can't be influencing it. No, they can use credit. They can use their parents' credit card.
Okay. Good. And you know, there's a bunch of reasons to love. And by the way, the gardening books be part of that for the winter. That part of that sale.
Yeah. So gardening books will be 50% off, and we got a nice big selection.
Some big stacks. A great one on stonescaping. Jumps right out at me from the top of it, and you know, all kinds of different plants.
Herbs. I think growing herbs is. I haven't really been very successful. I mean, I grow the basic basil and some of the other herbs. But I like to have a bigger and better herb garden. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something people should become interested in. Some of them you can grow inside, I think.
Yeah. I have rosemary inside right now. And you know, people go to the store and they buy these little $3 or $4 containers of herbs that are, you know, were cut who knows when. And I can go in, you know, and just cut my own rosemary anytime I wanted, or outside in the summer. But you enjoy gardening, and I think you were telling me the other day that you've been planting some English walnut seeds, basically, and oak seeds germinating some trees.
Right. Yeah, so, like, I don't know why everybody that has a backyard doesn't have a walnut tree.
English walnut versus black walnut?
Yes, English walnut versus black walnut. Well, black walnuts are okay. You know, there are some black walnuts that are easier to crack, but I haven't come across them. But English walnuts, hazelnuts are easy to grow too.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the public market and I got 2 small baskets of English walnuts. And I've always liked to plant to plant those seeds. And sometimes I found some from some trees around the city. There's quite a few walnut trees in Rochester. And but I, you know, I haven't really tried hard enough to plant them. But this time I kind of really wanted to. And they were fresh walnuts. And fresh walnuts taste fresher than dried out walnuts. So we'll see. They should, hopefully I'll start getting some shoots next week. They said about 10 days or so. And
did you say you scored or broke the shell a little bit for them?
Yeah, so I Googled to see what was the best way to plant them. And they said to crack them, maybe take a tiny little bit out so that the seed inside will have an easier time to break through the. But you can put in the whole thing, I think, and
yeah,
until next spring, they'll come up, which I think I'll do that too, as a trial.
As a test, I think you also said that the squirrels robbed you of your oak tree or the acorns you planted.
Yeah, so you know, this is kind of a little bit of a tragedy. Me and a friend of mine, Mike Kapicki, was a landscaper and
Honey. Yeah, he's famous for his honey.
Yeah, so he's like one of my oldest customers. He used to come to my store 35 years ago in Henrietta. So we've known each other for a long time. I buy honey from him, and he had this friend in the Buffalo area who grew a variety of nut trees. When you use the flowers to make a new. Yeah, I cross-pollinated, and he had like these black walnuts that were really easy to crack. The meat was easy to come to take out, and many other nut seeds, trees. He had like 20 acres, and we went there, me and Mike Kapicki, and we picked. You know, he gave us all these new hybrids they developed, and I planted them, and they. Just came up, and the stupid squirrels, they took him out after the seed sprouted, which was real, real, real pain. But, you know, I saw a show the other day on PBS, Nature, about squirrels, all the different squirrels, and I kind of don't have such a bad feeling about him anymore, you know, just...
You'll forgive and let it go.
Yeah, let it go. But Those seeds, I mean, I wish we had taken more and preserved more because the man, the horticulturist, passed away 2 years after we went there. And Mike and I just never got a chance to go back and see if we could get some more. But he was a great, great hybridizer. Now I got your book about seeds there, so I'm going to check those out.
I brought Rocco an older Rare Seed Catalog, which is a company that is based in Missouri, and they rareseeds.com, and you can find their seed catalog at newsstands now. It's like $10, so they've sort of gone the opposite direction of seed companies, which would always send free seed catalogs, and they've kind of disappeared. I mean, only a couple that have still come out, and so they went the opposite direction. They created this book. It was like couple hundred pages of stories, some really cool stories and illustrations. Yeah, so that was a 2016 one, but it doesn't really matter. They're still interesting seeds. They still probably sell most of them.
Right. So you can buy those from that catalog.
Yeah.
And you can probably buy the catalog online. You don't have to go to a store, I imagine. Yeah. I don't know if there's any store that will carry that.
I've seen it in Barnes & Noble. They among their magazines, they sell it, which was surprising. So they probably have the 2019 out, it's sort of fun that they've gone the opposite direction, and it's some fascinating seed varieties, some crazy seed varieties. I mean, you might find some in there from Italy that you didn't know that were available, and we have Fruition Seeds in Naples, which is also doing some really fantastic work. Fruition Seeds in Naples has herbs and flowers and vegetables. Yeah, just fruitionseeds.com. We're with Rocco Pellegrino, who is the owner of Small World Books, and that's on North Street in downtown Rochester. And you buy books and records and things. How do How do you go about that?
People call us, and now usually my response is we buy good literature of any sort, the arts, photography. But things that have a little bit more depth to them, we don't buy any popular bestsellers. There are some bestsellers, like Murakami was a good bestseller, whom I would, you know. So there's some bestsellers that are valuable, that are worth reading. But most of them, there's just too many on the market, and it's not worthwhile.
Yeah. Fill 10 stores with them.
Right, and also they have a very short shelf life. You know, a lot of these popular bestsellers maybe have a week, 2 weeks, you know, and after that, they're worthless, basically. They're good for one reading. So we're looking for books that will be alive 10 years from now, either in print or that people ask for. So we're looking for, better, you know, good literature. I mean, that might sound a little elitist, you know, but, good literature in all its forms, science, art, music. My love is for good, like, fiction, you know, the great writers, both from the Gulliver's Travels, Swift, you know, great literature from all ages, and you know, books that are finally made too. But you know, we also buy like pulp paperbacks if they're, you know, like science fiction or mysteries, you know, things that are original. I guess vintage is an overused word, but.
We have a case next to us here of older books, and you know, people see an older book, they think, you know, it's got to be valuable because this just looks really cool. And it's, a few of them are, right? But a lot of it's just condition and how it's been stored.
Well, a lot of it is content, too. I mean, if you have an early book on, say, horticulture with beautiful illustrations, you know, that's always valuable. Just the fact that they're old doesn't really mean anything. It's what you know, does anybody, is there any information there that people, you know, still want? Is there something about the book that makes it special? Again, you know, engravings, illustrations make a big difference. The fact that they're old, there's new, I mean, you know, first edition of The Little Prince, which is 1942, I think, somewhere in there. So something like that with a dust jacket would be over $1,000 retail. So there is old, you know, books that are newer, they're worth a lot. Even, you know, some like George Saunders is a local author. He rewrote several books, and then he finally broke through with 10th of December, a book of short stories that got really highly, critically acclaimed. And then after that, his books became very expensive, his early books, because they got remandered, his first book. And so his first books will be in the $100 range. They don't have to be old. You can have newer books that maybe didn't get appreciated, did not get printings, and that turn out to be great works of literature.
So if someone's looking to sell some books and downsize or whatever, should they bring them in? Should they call you first? Do you go out and look at them sometimes? How does it work?
It's great. You know, they should call. They should have some idea what books they have. They can't just say, we got a lot of old books, you know. What are the books? Who are the authors? Well, you know, if they're bestsellers, don't bother. You know, we're probably not going to be interested. But if they're interesting literature in all its forms, whether it's gardening or cooking or science or fiction, children books, give us a call first and then just know what you got. So, you know, and people can bring books in here and I'll look at them anytime. Just make an appointment, make sure that I'm here. But we'll look at any books and give them some feedback, whether we want them or not.
And is the other side of this that I really appreciate, the fact that you have a used bookstore. It's a great form of recycling where, you know, instead of reprinting all these things, people can come in and get them get things that they can't find, maybe, or get things that are pretty inexpensive.
Right. So, you know, the inexpensive is the key word, because most used books are half or less than half price. A lot of great literature gets reprinted all the time. You know, Hemingway, Fitzgerald, all the great literature, they get reprinted. So you can find a copy, say, of Catch-22 for a $5 paperback copy. And you won't find it at Barnes & Noble because they probably don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
So for a lot of good literature, you know, Orwell, you know, they're a lot cheaper. They're between one half to less. Now, if you have a first edition of one of these great writers, then, you know, you've got to be a collector willing to spend some real money.
And you also sell books online, right? So that's another outlet for you to reach a wider audience for certain books.
Yeah, so the Internet pretty much keeps us alive. That's where we sell. 80% of our books are sold on the Internet. Our retail is getting a little bit better, but we would not survive financially without the Internet. Probably one of our largest markets is California. I think we send more books to California than any place else. But we send books, I think I might have sent a book to China, maybe one to Russia. You know, so it's really cool when you get, you know, somebody, you know, ordering a book from Mongolia. I haven't sold one to Mongolia yet, but it'd be a great... Yeah. I did sell one to Kathmandu, Nepal. So that, you know, I kind of feel a little bit, you know, kind of, it's cool, you know.
It is. A connection to the world. And it may be some of these people that get to know you through the Internet and that you have consistently interesting and good books, maybe come and visit you someday here in Rochester and say hello. It's a community of book lovers in a sense.
Yeah, and we've had a few people come in and say they bought a book from us, from Iowa or whatever. And, that's always great. But I think also when people buy online, if they see a book sold by us, and they've bought a book from us, and they've got good, you know, book that they loved and condition that we described, then they probably order from us again. You know, we do have recurring sales on the Internet.
And, you know, it's like any bookstore or store in general, in some sense, coming in, you find things that you weren't looking for, which is part of the fun of just doing some browsing and... maybe beyond a mission for a certain book, but just sort of what you run into that on your curated shelves here.
Yeah, last Sunday. I'm usually not open on Sunday, but I happened to be here, and a couple came in through the door and asked if we were open. They came in, and the husband found these very large magazines from the 1920s, art magazines with really, really beautiful illustrations in there. And he bought the whole lot, three or four of them. I gave him a little discount. But that's the kind of thing that you're talking about, where you come, you really weren't looking necessarily for those magazines. Or other items that we got, you know, lying around.
You buy these sometimes when you're at estate sales and things?
Yeah. So, you know, if something, you know, catches your attention and you like it and it's like under $100 and you think it's a neat item, you know, I do buy it. You know, like even like a chess set sometimes. I find a nice chess set, you know, that's not too expensive. Toys sometimes, not too much toys, but if it's something, you know, like say if we wear a little toy from Pogo's characters or Charlie Brown characters, I will pick those up. And then, one time I read a book about baskets, Native American baskets and just basket making. And for a while I was, you know, I think I got about 25 baskets in the basement. So things that kind of catch your imagination. A lot. I like the idea, you know, the craft of basket making. I love to find inexpensive oriental carpets. You know, we got a few here, but they tend to be expensive. But, yeah, you know, things that, you know, kind of catch my eye, and I think they're interesting. I like the idea of things that are still useful. You know, like all the lamps we got here, I bought at estate sales, all the chairs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all different things that are interesting, useful, interesting.
And often made much better than the new ones are these days. You know, it's like furniture and baskets and other things. So you're recycling it, but you're also, often these things are made with real wood or real metal, and they last longer.
Right. So with baskets, the thing that kind of surprised me that I had no idea, I mean, I know that they use willow, but I didn't realize that they use oak. So they, you know, they do what they call them. Oak, they're just very thin. There's a name for it, where they slice off a little. They slice off thin layers of oak, and they make baskets out of them, which I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Oak, I mean, this, you know, hardwood, and people go there with a little hatchet and cut out little sheaves, and then they... That was, you know, kind of very interesting, just the work involved in it. And then, of course, there's, you know, artworks that people do, fiber work, artwork.
People never know what they might run into at Small World Books.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, I had a guy yesterday come in, and he's looking around, you know, and picks up a few books. And then there's a toy of the Hulk, a nice large one, about a foot. And he said, well, that's a dirty Hulk there. How much you want for it? I said, I don't know, $8. And he walks around and finally buys it. So, you know, who knows? I mean,
speaking of great literature, right?
Yeah. Well, the Hulk was great.
I mean, I did see some comic books. You have a few of those.
Yeah, not a lot. Not too much that's really all that valuable.
More of a specialty field for the valuable ones.
Right, right. And those are the ones that, you know, I did have some, but they sold, you know, long ago. So there are, you know, the standard comic books. I used to read all the comic books. Spider-Man, Thor were my favorites, you know, the Hulk. And but I don't, not as much anymore.
What are your hours this time of the year during the sort of holiday season?
So we're open 11 to 5, Monday through Saturday. Sunday, if there's cars here, they can ring a bell. If somebody's here, we'll open. But Sunday's by chance. And also people can call. I mean, we can, you know, meet people at different, before we open or after we close. So
what's the number?
That's 585-232-6970.
Small World Books, and a great place to explore for the holiday season. Find some history, find some fiction. It's
a lot of local books, original New York, Rochester. We've got a bunch of postcards. People like to collect postcards, and, you know, again, a variety of things. You know, maybe a little flute. No violence.
All right. Rocco, thank you for your time and a great little used bookstore with live music, either 3 or 4 times a month.
4 times a month, yeah. Usually from the start, all doors open at 8, and then music starts shortly after 8:39. And we had some really, really great bands here, especially the kids from Eastman. I think they're... We always love having him play here. But this Halloween, we had this... I mean, I don't know these people, but my friend who does the booking, young man, he said, wow, you know, this guy, Alex G, they're passing through town and they want to have a place to play and have a good time. So we had like a big crowd of 70 people coming to see this guy. And they were, you know, they were really good. I really enjoyed them. But, yeah, so we have some really good shows.
And do you sometimes do some reading or poetry and things here?
Yeah, so we like to do a little bit more. I like to get some people with some published writers who have been published, poets or fiction. We don't get so much fiction, like somebody who wrote a novel and wants to do a reading. I mean, there's a lot of people that self-publish, But a lot of times, you know, their books don't sell as well. Yeah. So I'd love to have, you know, maybe a writer that's well known. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get Don DeLillo, you know, or, but maybe Richard Russo. So I would like to do a little bit more of the poetry readings too. We're friends with Albert Abonado. They used to work at Writers and Books, I think. Mm-hmm. So he's organized some readings here, and some other poet groups have organized readings, and they're really well attended.
You also have a piano in the store.
Yeah. So these kids from the Eastman, they were doing a concert, the first one they did here, and they decided to get a piano, free piano. They got the U-Haul, brought the piano here. They did the show, and then they said, "Do you mind if we leave the piano here?" I said, "No, that's fine." So now, not every month, but occasionally we have one hour with a piano, and I make sandwiches and lunch, and people just have lunch with music, with the great piano players. Yeah,
that's cool. That's all happens at Small World Books. So follow them on Facebook, and you can find out about some of these special events, or just stop in frequently and say hello. Thank you, Rocco.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah.
And the Small World Books of 425 North Street, and if you come up Chestnut from downtown Rochester, Hudson goes off to the left. You stay on North Street, and you'll see the big mural, which is pretty cool, part of Wall Therapy, and it's before you get to where Portland goes off of North Street. So, you know, Small World Books, cool place.